Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible, all about Jesus. The Christian church is all about Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation is all about Jesus. The message of the gospel, the pure teaching of the gospel, is all about Jesus. It should come as no surprise, then, that Pentecost is also all about Jesus. However, quite often, our focus on this day shifts to the third person of the Holy Trinity. Now, truly, on the 50th day following Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the great Comforter, was gifted to all Christians, to the entirety of Christ's church. As a result, the disciples of Jesus began to speak in tongues, speak in a way that they had never spoken before. They were also able to perform miraculous signs in front of the crowds, the large audiences. On a certain day in 1906, in Los Angeles, California, some Christians claimed that the same thing occurred, or at least something similar. Speaking in tongues became a normal thing on that day, along with claimed miraculous healings. The Christians who took center stage on that day claimed it was Pentecost all over again. And so Christians who follow after that type of belief and understanding, and that true Christians, can speak in tongues, those belong to what is called the Pentecostal Church. What these and many others fail to realize is that the day of Pentecost was all about Jesus. It was not to elevate the Holy Spirit above the Christ, certainly not of that of the Father. That day was not about speaking in tongues as some grand gesture. It was not about the ability to perform miracles. 50th day following Christ's resurrection from the dead was the fulfillment, the very fulfilling of the promises Jesus made, that he made to his disciples in the upper room. From our reading from John chapter 14, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit would be sent as the Comforter for the disciples of Jesus to be with them throughout their difficult road that lie ahead. The Spirit would also then bring to their remembrance all that Jesus had said to them, and they would certainly need that remembrance, all that Jesus had said. The Spirit's job was to aid the disciples with the gospel of Jesus. To that end, then, the called disciples of Jesus, specifically those 11 gathered that day, were given the ability to speak, and to speak in tongues. Now, that speaking in tongues, as given by the Spirit, was not some random ability to speak in gibberish, some made-up, falsified language. St. Luke makes it a point, as we heard in our second reading, to declare that those gathered around that first Pentecost day, around the disciples in Jerusalem, they were there for the springtime harvest festival among the Jews. They could hear what the disciples were saying in their own language. This was not made up, not gibberish. No other interpreters needed, simply the gospel now being proclaimed in new languages. So the 12 were not speaking in random, never before heard languages. Rather, they were given the ability to speak known languages, that could be understood by those gathered around. And there's good reason for such a gift. It was the reason, the very reason that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, came in the first place to save us, to save all sinners. Our Heavenly Father certainly wants that blessed message to permeate throughout the world, to go out into all nations. And so the ability given to speak in tongues to those disciples on that very first Pentecost day accomplished that feat. It was made possible for all to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in his own language, in his own ears. And this great miracle of Pentecost is, as scholars have understood and Christians throughout the centuries have gathered, this is the reversal of what occurred so many centuries before from our Old Testament reading, the very story of the Tower of Babel. Hence its inclusion as our reading for this day. Out of sinful pride in that story, mankind, following the time of the flood, disobeyed God by not spreading throughout all the world as God had commanded and not permeating the rest of God's creation. One of the biggest reasons for that disobedience, for not leaving the plain of Shinar, they could all speak in the same language. They could talk to each other. Why leave? Why go away from there? While being unified in one language would allow them to achieve amazing feats, such as building a massive tower into the heavens, they could still never attain eternal life. Rare would be the occasion when such people would rely on God for anything, if they could accomplish everything, let alone salvation itself. So while it seems like a cruel thing to do, God did indeed confuse their language on that day and spread them out over the entire surface of the earth. Now they, as they went out, would still possess knowledge of God, understanding of His creation as He had taught them, but now they must speak of it in a new language. Such a difficulty, stress, tension would lead to fuller dependence on God for all things once more. And we know that language variation does certainly impact communication in our world. Even with all of our modern advancements in technology, we still cannot perfectly communicate with anyone we want, anywhere we want, whenever we want, and in whatever language we want. We might be close. We're still not there. And even if we were, we still got to use that technology itself. Language still remains a barrier. It created a distinction between God's Old Testament people in the past, the Hebrews, and the surrounding cultures in those days. God's Word was still spoken to all throughout that time, but it was through one language and to one people. Communicating that truth then to the rest of the world was quite the challenge. And the Spirit's arrival then on Pentecost was the remedy, the cure for that distinction. More precisely, it was the cross. The cross of Jesus that was the remedy. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies regarding a Savior from sin. His work of redemption, buying back sinners from the hands of sin, from the cross, that won for all mankind forgiveness of sin, eternal life with God. Without language restrictions. So what the Spirit accomplishes then on Pentecost is the very unifying of language throughout the world. No, not everyone would be speaking the same verbal language, still not happening today, but the message of salvation has been made clear and made available throughout the world. That message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which the disciples now had clear knowledge of and insight to as revealed by the Spirit, that was now given them to speak out into all the world. Those 11 and St. Paul following after them would preach the gospel in a language that was new to them, but not to those gathered in Jerusalem on that very first day of Pentecost. St. Luke reports, the end of chapter 2, that almost or about 3,000 souls were gathered unto Christ by faith that very day. Nearly 3,000 people who had heard the gospel were saved by faith in Christ alone. There is no report of those people then speaking in tongues themselves or performing great miracles as Christians. Rather, they would most likely return to their homelands as stated in the book of Acts when that festival time was over, and thus not being able to contain the good news of the gospel of Christ, they would share that message with their families, with their friends, with their co-workers, and so the gospel would spread. What occurs then on that very first Pentecost day is truly the opening of the door of life. The door of the work of Jesus Christ for the world. Throughout Jesus' ministry, his disciples would struggle with his language and his teachings and his preaching. We know that through the gospel accounts all the way through the Pentecost. Even more so, those disciples of Jesus wrestled with him, not physically, well, maybe, but with his words and with his teaching, his identity as God for them in the flesh. Certainly, they had high hopes that this was true. I mean, imagine if that man you knew was actually God in the flesh. Utterly amazing. They wrestled with him over this idea that he could be the promised Messiah. Even having been so close with him, for 3 years, those disciples could not figure him out. You and I would not fare much better given that same situation. Even now, with all that we know about Jesus, to be then in that situation, his suffering, his death, that image would unhinge it all. Plus, the biggest key to unlocking who Jesus is and what he had come to do, God's eternal plan of man's salvation, that big piece had not yet been revealed for those disciples. Jesus' death, his resurrection, are what finally gives weight to all the scriptures that the disciples knew. Without the Holy Spirit's guidance, the 12 would then not even be able to fully understand the Christ and his crucifixion. Even following his resurrection, we still have them confused, doubting, not sure of themselves and what to do. They could not figure it all out with their own reason and all their senses. Yet the Holy Spirit did just as Jesus promised. He guided them into all the truth concerning Jesus. And finally, when that moment occurs on that Pentecost day, when the disciples are made aware of all that Jesus was about, then the speaking in tongues begins. Peter and the other disciples were changed from that moment on and forevermore. Gone were the days of hiding behind closed and locked doors. The message of hope and salvation by God's grace alone was free. Free to flow from those disciples and out into the world. And grow, it did. It is likened to that of a sprinter who has worked so long and so hard for that one chief defining moment, getting ready for the big race. The tension has built. All has come to that one moment, and finally the gun fires and the runners are off. The church was now ready to go. Peter stood up in front of everyone, thousands of people, speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ without any fear whatsoever anymore. Church was off, was up and running, has been going strong ever since, and it will continue until the Lord of the church returns on that last day. A miraculous gift of speaking in tongues, the scriptures itself has said, has come to an end. Though you can learn new languages pretty much anytime you want if you choose. Powerful, instant healings have also ceased within the church. But Pentecost was never really about all those things, was it? It's always been about Jesus. He is in the spotlight, shining on him by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And so, Christ's church to this day remains faithful. And it will continue doing just that as it keeps Jesus Christ front and center. After all, it's still all about Jesus. And it always will be. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.